friend Steve Webb, Superintendent of Schools Gorville, joining us this morning. Steve, happy Monday to you, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
You know, last week there was an abduction attempt in your community. I did talk to the sheriff. He says there's not a lot new to share. I was going to ask you that before we go any further.
Yeah, information is still a little bit iffy right now on the whole situation, but certainly it gives us an opportunity to educate our kids on what to do if they are in this type of situation. That particular child was not a student of Gorville Schools, so not a whole lot known about that family situation, but certainly it gives us all an opportunity to have that conversation with our kids.
There are some 123 active cases of abduction in the state of Illinois now. I mean, you and I talk about statistical probabilities of this or that happening when it comes to unsafe. I think, 102 counties in Illinois, 123 active cases, that gives you a little perspective. I think maybe that might be an eye-opener for some people.
Well, you know, I talk about school safety a lot, and, you know, most of the schools I deal with say, I can't believe it happened here, or it's just not going to happen here. And those types of mentalities are what gets us in trouble, that complacency. And this is the same type of situation. You know, we don't even teach stranger danger anymore because only 1% of the abductions are from a non-family member, according to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. A greater percentage is by some type of family member, somebody that they know. So we try not to even say stranger danger, and more, be aware of your surrounding and check it out first.
I mean, one of the problems, Steve, that I see, and correct me if I'm wrong, is when the first instance where we don't know where our child is, that there has to be another consideration, runaway, abduction or runaway.
Well, runaway certainly is the number one cause of the, according to the Missing and Exploited Children. But, you know, as a parent, the worst of the worst comes to your mind when you can't find your child. And, you know, in today's age, particularly in southern Illinois, where, you know, population is sparse, you just don't have a lot of witnesses, it could potentially be a tough situation for parents to be able to watch your children at all times. But again, in our small communities, is it less likely to happen? Probably so, but we all have to be on guard.
How's that conversation sound with a kid? I mean, because when you look at this attempted abduction, Gorville, white van, I was looking at one that really is getting a lot of attention this morning. A 9-year-old was camping with her family, and she went for a bike ride at the campgrounds. 9-year-old. She disappeared. Kentucky. A woman now charged with kidnapping, she lured a 5-year-old boy into her apartment with ice cream. Literally, you know, the stranger danger, want a piece of candy, little girl. I mean, you know, so how does that conversation sound, Steve? And I guess it changes based on age.
Well, certainly. But that conversation starts with, I would never send somebody to get you without letting you know. I would never get into a vehicle with somebody that said they had ice cream or candy. If somebody asks you to help them find their puppy, run away and come find us, because those are the most common ways that people have used, predators have used over time to try to get access to our children. And that conversation has to be, this is what we do as a family. I would never send a family member after you without letting you know, or letting somebody at the school know, or there's some type of information. So check it out first. Don't just go with somebody because they say they're my friend or they're a family member.
Your mom sent you. The young boy that we were talking about with the Kentucky woman, the lure of ice cream didn't work. She actually grabbed him by the arm and kind of took him, so to speak, because you can overpower them as well. I don't know if you've seen this, Steve. There's a channel now where parents are, they're having the conversation with their teens, and then they lure them into a situation and see whether they say yes. I mean, I literally watch these videos of the woman, young girl, getting into a van with a guy, you know, he's good looking, long black hair. His parents are in the back with seats and with Halloween masks and guns and knives, and they get in the van. They can't wait to yell at them. We told you never do this. This is something they have entire channels on, people taking the bait, and it's it's stunning, I think. It's shocking, of course, for the parents. I'm thinking there's probably going to be some emotional scarring on the later on. But this is something that's on a lot of people's minds. Where can they go to get more information right now about this, and especially when it comes to protecting your kids?
Well, you know, we've talked about this on your show quite a bit about these social media apps and how people will spoof their identification, and, you know, then all of a sudden it's a surprise when that child is lured out of their house. But as I've said time and time again, you would never drop your 12-year-old child off at the mall if you knew that everywhere they walked, somebody was trying to talk to them, to abduct them, that there were predators there. You would never do that. Why would we allow our social media to be held in such a high regard to our children, and our parents just not have any idea what they've got on their phone? So they can go to the website of the National Center for Child and Child Exploitation, Missing and Exploited, and they can go there and they can find all kinds of information on how to talk to your child, no matter what age they are. And that's, I think it's key that we communicate with our children and we use these experiences to make sure that they understand what we would do as a family. And in that particular situation that happened last week, you know, you could never prepare for that. You could never fully prepare for that. But if you don't have the conversation with your child, they would never have that information to be able to use when that does occur to them.
Right. So picture your kid. What else do you need to have whenever you call the police on an incident like this?
Well, you need to be able to identify and give all kinds of identifying factors and make sure. You know, there are three things that you've got to do. The first is make a lot of noise. Make sure people can see, can hear, not just screaming, but call 911, something to where people understand that you are in trouble. The second thing is you need to make sure that you yell no and you do whatever you can to make sure that you remove yourself from that situation. And the third is go tell somebody. Go tell a trusted adult immediately what happened with a full description of that person so that they can make sure that hunt for that individual is accurate.
You know, it was interesting when I was reading up statistics. And by the way, Steve mentioned this child exploitation site. It was really well done. A lot of good stuff there information-wise. One of the other locations I did look, I thought something stood out to me. Summer, the most common time of year to be abducted by family members or parents. This period sees a 30% increase in instances. I thought that was, but it makes sense. Good weather, they're outside, availability, kind of the way I interpreted that.
It is, and in many split families, summertime is the other parent's time. It wouldn't be the custodial parent's time with that child, and many times that they want to try to figure out how they can keep that child. But, you know, summertime is dangerous in a lot of ways because that unstructured time when nobody's really seeing that kid, that the child may say that they're staying with a friend or they're staying with going camping or whatever, and when they're gone for 2 or 3 days, then that trail goes cold. So being in school every single day, seeing that child every single day, you know, we've got security all around our facility. We've got security guards in the facility. That's the type of thing that we do in schools to try to ensure safety of our children. But when they're going home in the afternoon, that's the time when parents need to make sure that their child is fully aware of their surroundings and know what to do if they see a stranger.
Steve Webb, Superintendent Gorville.